Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to the Pants Party. Terrace and Star, HD underscore Star. It is Ben Ross, Harmon Schillebrew, the man, the myth, the legend, Renboss 23. How are you doing, my friend? How's your rosemary tree? Did it survive a whole year?
Hell no. Oh my god. Completely forgot about that. Of course not. No. Well, actually, funny. This isn't the reason why I died, but I had a good friend when I was in Arizona for, I was there for like 15 days, I think, 16 on the dot. I got a copy of my key made and had my friend come in, a very close friend of mine, college roommate at Iowa, come in and water my plants and just make sure, you know, things were okay in my apartment in Chicago. I get here one day early. I don't tell him just because my flight came in at like 11 p.m. and two of my plants are dead. Like, what do I do about that? I mean, I don't care. They're probably the two plants I care the least about. But it's like, if I would have known you, if you were going to do a shitty job, just tell me and I would have asked somebody else. Right? What is the protocol? I mean, what's going to end up happening is I haven't seen him since he did it. I'm going to get drunk with him. I'm going to a wedding with him in a couple of weeks. Next Friday, I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to tell him, hey, you killed two of my plants, motherfucker. And then I'll probably tell his girlfriend, soon to be fiance, and she's going to slap him. And that'll be that.
That's the right answer, I think. Now, I guess the question is, did he overwater them or simply touch them at all?
Bone dry.
Bone dry.
Bone dry because, yeah. And I caught him in the main part of the story is I caught him in a lie because I was expecting a piece of mail, like a package. And I said, can you come and get this? Have I got any mail? Have I got any packages? And he's like, oh no, you didn't get any mail. But he obviously didn't come and get my mail and water my plants the day he said he was going to. So.
I'm sorry, Ben.
It's fine.
I'm sorry, because as I've heard many people talk about us millennials, children are the new houses, pets are the new kids, and plants are the new pets. So it's like losing a family member.
I mean, yeah, seriously, and as someone who's currently condo shopping in Chicago right now, I can tell you, actually, I bet it's a lot cheaper than a kid, so... Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
I guess it depends. A lot of money. Anyways, we're back. We're going to get right into it with the basketball so we can get this up, share some takes, and have them not evaporate in... I mean, they will evaporate in 24 hours, but so that they are only slightly less educated in 24 hours. Iowa lost to Duke last night. And I think... To me, the concerning thing is, like, the offense. And that is incredible analysis, I recognize. But if the shots don't fall, it just grinds to a halt. And that is concerning, considering Iowa was relying on Chris Murray and Peyton Sanford to be the two three-point shooters. And away from home, they cannot buy a bucket. Peyton Sanford can't buy one anywhere.
Going into the season, do you remember what I said my biggest concern was about this team?
You said shooting. And
no,
I'm like,
didn't.
Nah,
oh.
They'll figure it out.
Hey, did I? I wasn't gonna say something else. I was gonna say a lack of a big.
Oh.
But did I say shooting?
I never understood. Yeah. I think you said shooting.
Okay.
Well, maybe you said
that. I will steal the valor then. I know, because I was kind of a Rebracha hater. I was a Rebracha truther. Maybe I said, I know I definitely said that's what doomed Iowa in the postseason last year was lack of a big.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, if I did say shooting, I think it was the most predictable thing because we saw so little of Sanford last year where we couldn't, it would have been fair to declare him a shooter. And then it's not like Perkins was ever a shooter. Ulis was never a shooter. Chris Murray, I don't know what his three-point percentage last year was, but wouldn't, you know, quantify him as a shooter, especially as a sixth man off the bench. And, you know, Connor, I guess, I think you'll have to fact check me on this, but I think he might have the best three-point shot on the team right now. Pat hasn't really been doing much. I feel like we've seen a lot so far. What I'm seeing out of Pat is a lot of what I saw out of him last year, which is just like one step away from being something truly elite. I think Pat does so much and I want him to do so well. I want him to do, I don't know why. I think part of it is because I really like Fran and I don't like Connor that much. Or I haven't liked Connor that much in the past. He's got one more year I've got one more year left with him to really turn around on him. But Pat always felt like is, you know, maybe the prince who we were promised out of McCaffrey, I suppose. Whereas it kind of feels like now maybe Jack is. And like it feels like we're stomaching Fran, we're sticking with Fran to wait and see what Jack does, you know. And I think on the call last night somebody was saying it was either Dick Vitale or the other guy who was saying that Jack is going to be the best McCaffrey. And I think it was Dick who stopped him and said, no, Marge. Marge was the best. So that's just a funny little back and forth between them. But it feels like people are already writing off this team. I don't know if you want to hit on the Chris Murray in a walking boot news. But after watching like Illinois play Texas before Iowa and seeing what fucking Wisconsin is going to be Wisconsin again. Maryland fought back in that game. Indiana is could be one of the better Indiana teams of recent memory since the guy with the gigantic nose was there, Cody Zeller. I was like going back to because people have written off Iowa last year. And I was trying to look at the time, when did they write him off, write Iowa off? And when they changed the lineup and put Perkins in to start, but like, was it after they lost three in a row, Purdue, Illinois, Iowa State, or was it when they went on the 5-game win streak to end the season, won 5 out of 6 in late February? I feel like they made the change in mid-January. But I'm remembering, I thought Iowa went on like a 6-game win streak last year, and I'm not seeing that in the schedule. Do I have the right season up? Yeah, I do. No, I don't.
It was just a 5-game. It was just a 5-game winning streak, to your point.
Okay, though. That's when it was.
They went to, so I think they were written off twice, probably. The Purdue-Illinois-Iowa State combination, and that was in part with the Keegan injury. They're like, oh my gosh, if Keegan isn't going to, you know, how long is this thing going to linger? And then they were able to right the ship against Utah State. But really the point where it kind of hit a boiling point, I'd say, is that Penn State game where Connor ironically found his shot and has not really lost it. He just hasn't shot that much, which I think is probably a bad thing, but I think he needs to do more. But that's when they went to Perkins in the starting lineup was the Minnesota game.
They won eight of nine. You know. That's what, okay. My stupid brain wasn't able to figure it out by looking at fucking Wikipedia.
Yep. So, I want to hit on, I think maybe the biggest point. Sorry, I had to tend to a child who,
it was me who was tending.
You had to vamp a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a good job.
So, you did. And I think the one that is maybe most interesting is like the development of Pat, because I do think of guys on this team, he has the highest ceiling in terms of, hey, he can get better as a shooter. He's already got a lot of this stuff in terms of, you know, being able to dribble pass, likes to dunk, etc. I thought he showed some nice toughness last night. After
he always gets hurt. He always gets hurt, but he always gets back up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the reason you are such in Pat's corner, and the reason that I was always like, he could be, if he just did this, if he just did that. To me, the kid beat cancer. Like, I don't think that that can be something that is forgotten in the story of Pat McCaffrey, just because it really, it is so close to him and close to his family, and he deals with it every day, having no thyroid. And I think that that's, you know, some of where, you know, I feel like an asshole. Oh, did you go out and enjoy the night before? No, he probably had a bad day because he gave his all the night before and he doesn't have a thyroid. He can't get it back up. So I think he is someone who can definitely kind of be that third stool of the offense, or the third leg of the offense with Chris and Perkins. But to me, it's not necessarily danger zone. And I do think kind of maybe your theme of it all is write off Iowa at your own risk, because they will kind of figure it out. And I think the thing that does concern me, though, and I think it's a point that we've made about the football team, is we sit here 25-30% of the way through the season, and we look at where they're struggling, and the makeup of the team now hasn't changed since the end of last season. They needed a shooter at the end of last season. And to not go out and get a bench shooter, it is basically akin to not going out and getting an offensive lineman at the end of last football season. And it's a little different, right? Because you can still generate offense a number of different ways. But to lose Bo Hannon, who is the first time we've brought him up in a good minute, and Keegan, of course, you know, those are two shooters, the one the most prolific, the other just an elite scorer. And Chris has proven that he can be very, very good. But what made Keegan elite was the consistency with which he was able to score, to make himself open in spots where Iowa could get him the ball and things like that. So Thad has always kind of made this point in the Slack, which is, hey, you have everyone is in a new role than they were last year, with maybe save Patrick, maybe save Connor, but they're all acclimating to that in addition to acclimating as a team. So I think in some respect, like, Rabracha has stepped up. He missed some bunnies last night, and maybe that changes the course of the game. But I think that it's going to be a more volatile team than I expected, and even when I was really optimistic kind of after two or three games. But I do like that they didn't quit. I like that DeSante Bowen seems to have some stuff. Like, he seems to have the juice. And I think there are tweaks that Fran can make to get this offense to click. Hopefully it happens sooner than later. And hopefully, to your point, like, if Chris Murray has to miss the Iowa State game, it ends there, and they can go out and put all their eggs in kind of this week's basket against Wisconsin, which, for better or for worse, is kind of the state of play right now.
Yeah, you're able to help me gather what I was kind of trying to grasp. It feels like I'm only seeing improvement out of two players at Iowa. And which two players do you think I'm thinking of?
That returned from last year. I think it's Rabracha. I think that's one.
Rabracha's number one.
And I think Ulis might be two.
No, I think Ulis, I'll get to Ulis in a second. No, my second one's going to be Connor. Because Connor.
Oh, okay.
And So when you're seeing the most improvement out of an undersized center and then your sixth man, I don't think that's a place you want to be. With Ulis, I think it's just because we saw so little of Ulis last year that maybe you're thinking. And with Chris, you know, I'm hesitant to say he's improved. It's just that he didn't play, you know, as much last year. Of course, he's improved some, but it's not like, you know, what his it's been meteoric. And so it's just frustrating. I'm seeing it's what honestly, truly kind of what we saw out of Peter Jok his entire tenure. We saw out of Joe Toussaint's entire tenure, where they were great as freshmen and they're like, all right, sky's the limit with these guys. And they just stagnated. Like, you know, Pat obviously got better freshman and sophomore year, but so far this year, I'm seeing the exact same player Pat was last year as he was this year. Same thing out of Perkins, same thing out of Ulis. Honestly, Sanford kind of feels like he's taking a step back, even in an increased role. Bowen, I liked what I saw out of him last night. Am I missing anybody? I don't think I am. It's just
Josh is a Gundalay and Dix.
Okay.
But
I was like, is that a dick joke you're making there?
no, it's a Josh joke.
Both those guys played so little last year. Was Dix even on the team last year?
No, I mean, he was a freshman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or he's a freshman this year.
Ogundele looked slimmer last night.
Ogundele has some really good moments.
Yeah.
Like, I think that he's probably someone Iowa Fran could stand to play maybe 8 to 10 minutes, especially as we get into the teeth of the Big Ten season. I do think I've seen improvement from Chris because in the sense that he really just had the Indiana game last year. I think he showed a lot in the Seton Hall game. Like, he went on kind of one of those stretches where he, like Keegan would do, where he'd go on like an 8-point run by himself. I thought that was really good from
Totally thought last night Chris after he had the back-to-back buckets. It's like, okay, I was back.
I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. Mm-hmm.
And then I think he scored only one more the rest of the game, maybe two more.
Yeah. But really, he just has a less varied game, which means it's easier to defend. And, you know, he has, I guess this is kind of an interesting statistic. I have KenPom up. He really hasn't increased in volume possession wise, but he has gotten better at turnovers. He's shooting a higher percentage of the shots when he's on the floor, but it's not like he's gone from 18% to 28% of the shots. He was shooting a ton of the shots when he was on the floor last year. He was shooting 25% of the shots. So, like, he's doing it over longer minutes, but he's still kind of playing how he played. More efficient into, and I do definitely think he looks like a more pure shooter than Keegan. So, I think that that's a step up. But with his game being more perimeter-oriented, it's just sometimes the shots don't fall, and he's got to do more to get going, whether it's trying to get into the lane, you know, draw a foul, things like that. And I do think he'll have some mismatches coming up, but they don't matter if he can't play, right? And I think that that is a huge question as it stands right now.
I think this is actually a bad stat. It's indicative of kind of how poorly Iowa played overall. Do you know how many turnovers Iowa had last night?
They played a clean game.
7. That is so, like, usually a hallmark of a Fran team is like 15 and winning the game by the seat of your pants. 7 turnovers, Iowa, that's kind of like a Iowa football stat where you turn it over so few, you win the game 80% of the time, you know, 90% of the time. Like, I couldn't believe when I looked at the box score last night, you know, the thing that sticks out is, you know, just field goal percentage and 3-pointers, even free throws, but they only got to the line 15 times, so it's whatever. Duke could be really, really good. Who knows? But it's just,
they didn't play their best. Like, I think that's maybe what's most frustrating. It's not like Filipowski went out there and just, like, took over. Iowa lost to the best guard on the floor. What's new? Like, I mean, like, at the end of the day. And one thing I do want to give credit to Chris, too, as well, is he does genuinely make a concerted effort to try and impact the game without scoring when the shot isn't falling. But man, Iowa needs him to score. Like, I mean, I think that that's something I've said before. That's kind of what Fran said. Hey, we need him to be a 20-point scorer before he's a 5-assist guy. That was something he said at the beginning of the season. And credit to Chris, hell of a basketball player. He's been rebounding hard. He has been looking for open guys. But let's fill it up. And what better way than at home, either against Iowa State or Wisconsin?
Are both those games at home?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. They are indeed. So, shall we talk about I guess the first thing, since we've talked last, is Cade McNamara. Did we have any?
No, I don't think he was. He's committed since we spoke last. Official? Yeah.
So, do you have any thoughts that you want to share?
Love getting a quarterback coming off a knee surgery that takes 10 months to rehab when the football season is 9 months away.
Do we know what injury it is?
No, but the weird thing to me is, like, he didn't get surgery until November. And the injury happened in the third week of the season.
Yeah.
So I know. So that's like a normal thing for like an ACL tear. You wait 6 weeks for, I don't know what the medical term is, but usually wait a while until you get surgery. But this is a 12-week deal. It feels like he waited. I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I mean, fine. Honestly, it's like cynically, I see like Spencer Sanders enter the portal or another quarterback whose name I can't think of right now. Not JT Daniels because he stinks, but somebody else. It's like, oh, maybe I'd rather have Spencer Sanders than Cade McNamara. But if Cade McNamara is recruiting Michigan guys to Iowa, then I'm all for it. I mean, it's guess. What can you say other than we got what we wanted, which is a quarterback? I mean, for the most part, yeah. I wanted a new coaching staff or a new offensive coordinator at least, but I guess this is the next best thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that Cade McNamara coming on simply ticks a lot of boxes of like what Kirk Ferentz likes from quarterbacks. Like, clearly a bright kid, clearly team first. Those are the first two. How much he can actually change the system, I mean, who knows? Like, I think what made him partially a running threat at Michigan was the fact that he was handing the ball off to genuinely incredible.
Yeah, and Michigan
an incredible spreads offensive
it out, yeah,
line.
And Michigan spreads it out wide. So, yeah.
Like, so I think that obviously the tea leaves are like the Budmeyer connection. The fact that no one in his right mind would come into an Iowa offense expecting an Iowa offense. But also Kirk Ferentz with his press conference was like, we've had success with these coaches in this scheme. So who freaking knows? Like, I mean, I think that that's...
I'm sorry. What is the Budmeyer connection? Colorado? What?
Budmeyer recruited his brother to Colorado State.
Okay. I mean, that's even... So, that's a little... Come on. That's a little 6 degrees of separation for me.
Hey, I guess I'm Charlie from It's Always Sunny. But, I mean, that's allegedly what it is. I just don't know how much more changes we're going to see. Like, if I gave you over under 1.5 staff changes, and by that I mean hires, so 2 out, 1.5 out, 1.5 in, do you take the over or under?
So if Barnett leaves and we get somebody else, does that count as one or two?
That would be one.
I think we see one. I think Barnett I think this is still me wish casting. I think we see, but I guess if it hasn't happened by now, do they wait to the bowl game for this? I don't know. But like, when did, let me finish. I think Barnett's gone. And I think Brian becomes co-offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, and Bud Meyer, somebody else, becomes co-offensive coordinator too, and quarterbacks coach. But I actually, yeah, but the thing is, I really don't think that either. I really think it becomes Barnett is the sacrificial lamb. For better or for worse, and Brian maybe gives up quarterback coach duties and becomes and Bud Meyer becomes co-offensive coordinator, QB coach. Brian stays co-offensive coordinator, offensive line coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that whenever a coaching change can happen, to expect the least inspiring thing out of Kirk Ferentz, and I think that that's 100% it. But like, there's also the case, and this is where I am Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny Philadelphia, just like the lines. Like, I go back to Brian's initial hire when it happened after the Super Bowl, because he was coaching on a team in the Super Bowl. And it happened in conjunction with Ken O'Keefe conveniently finding a NFL job. And there's another position to fill, I think, as well, that basically left the opening for only offensive coordinator, QB coach. And who wants that job? Who wants the job to be between the head coach and his son, like it ended up happening? Some caretaker like Greg Davis, who just wants to wait until he can start cashing Social Security checks. So we're faced with a similar situation. I think it happens on the NFL timeline, which would basically mean you get Barnett.
The NFL timeline is
Barnett stays
always, but yeah, keep going.
But Brian finds some NFL job after the NFL season.
Do you really believe that?
Which means,
do you really, really?
Bud Meyer slides through it.
In your heart of hearts, do you really believe that?
I don't know. I think Gary Barter should give him a fundraiser job for $100,000 and tell him, hey, you want to live in Iowa City for the rest of your life? Do that.
Okay, but he's making $800,000 now. And if he says no, he'll continue to make $800,000. So, like,
Then you're fired. Like, I mean, that's me wish casting. But to me, the least inspiring thing is staff stays 100% the same until Brian leaves under the cover of darkness on an NFL timeline. Bud Meyer slides into offensive coordinator, QB coach.
I just
wish they did it now. Like, this was the case for Iowa to go 5-7. You're pulling teeth.
That's right, so the beginning of the year. I said, we're going to need a disastrous season to see any sort of changes. What we got was same old Iowa.
Game away from the West. The West crown. Which I guess leads me to, I'm going to tee you up for this, Ben. A delightful tweet that I sent you, and I told you we could talk about this for an hour. Since deleted. So what's it say?
From Tyler Barnes, who, what's his official title? Recruiting coordinator?
Director of recruiting, I think, is what his official title is.
I don't have the timestamp this was sent out. Do you know when it was? Was it directly after or the morning after the Big Ten championship game?
I'm almost certain it was the morning after.
Okay. To quote, wait, ellipses. In the Big Ten title game, the winning QB was 11 for 17 for 161 yards and 3 TDs and just 1 interception. But all I hear is how these dudes want to go places where they just line up 5 wide and sling it. Am I missing something? Lots of ways to win games. Well, it's a lot of ways to lose games, too. And also, when's the last time Iowa beat Ohio State? Well, when Iowa beat Ohio State... What did they do?
They lined up 5-1.
And they fucking swung it.
Flung it.
Which is something I just thought about.
Yeah, like I said, the layers to this thing are just genuinely hilarious. The first one that comes to mind for me is, yes, guess what? The wide receiver who overlaps between Tyler Barnes' employer and the team that Michigan played left to go to a place where they line up 5 wide and sling it. And part of him going over to Purdue, Charlie Jones, honestly, this was a point you made last week. It saved their season. Who is catching 100 passes if not Charlie Jones from Aiden O'Connell? So, like, yeah, people want to do that. But ultimately, people want to play, offensive players want to play in productive offensive systems. It doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, that's what it comes down to. And what this glosses over is everything that J.J. McCarthy brings. Like, J.J. McCarthy, I think, ran for, like, close to 400 yards. Let me make sure I get my stats correct here. Okay, that was an exaggeration. 254 yards. You know, he and Spencer Petras are probably tied with touchdowns, 4, because Spencer Petras is the ultimate vulture on QB sneaks. But ultimately, like, guys just want to go where they can produce, whether it's lining up 5-wide and slinging it, or being in, you know, a complementary football offense in the modern time complementary football. But they're still putting up points. Like, they put up 44 points. Yeah. That is something very convenient to forget.
J.J. McCarthy threw 60% of the touchdown passes in that game than Petras did all year. Petras threw 5
yes.
touchdown passes this year. Like, that's not productive. What would you call it? It's not, what's the opposite of hubris? Ignorance?
Oh, what?
What Barnes?
No, it's humility.
Okay.
But, like, you're saying misguided hubris? Like, what is?
I don't know what emotion. I don't know what Greek word I would use to describe the condescension. Maybe condescension, I guess. Was it Barnes or was it somebody else too who tweeted? I think this might even be 2 summers ago now about negative recruiting. And I think it was actually directly tied to.
Yeah, that was Barnes. It was Barnes.
And I think it was tied directly to the tight end recruit who ended up going to Auburn, which, have fun now, buddy, whose name I can't. I think it was Fedone. Was that his name?
No, it was Micah.
Well, I don't want to. I don't remember. I don't want to remember, guys. I already forgot. It's. You know, honestly, what I wanted to see, I would have liked to have seen that tweet out of Brian Ferentz's account, but it's like Brian.
Yeah.
Brian's so goddamn toxic that we'd be ripping him to shreds too.
The other thing that cracked me up about the tweet, and this was the first thing that I had, because it's not that Iowa is committed to running the football. They're committed to passing, or excuse me, to balance within an offense in terms of run pass split.
Disagree. They're committed. They're committed to protection.
You're right. Yeah. You're right in that respect, but like from a run pass split standpoint, they aren't committed to any. There was a point in the Nebraska game where I'm like, they should not pass the ball again. They shouldn't. And it was before Spencer Petras got injured. Just run the ball. Just do it. But no, because they're Iowa, they're committed to, are you going to run or are you going to pass? If only it mattered, that deception. But to kind of counter Barnes's point, Iowa has only had 3 games since 2017 where they have passed for less than 20 times. Against Rutgers earlier this year, Illinois last year, that game, And then Minnesota in 2020, 9 for 18. They threw only one touchdown for 18
in 2020. Oh my
In those
God.
Three games. Yeah. Illinois 2021 was 6 of 18 with Padilla. There were a lot of drops that game.
That was a Charlie Jones game.
And only once. Yeah, it was. It was. And then only once they put up more than 20 points on offense. So, hey, I this is something we've always said. We delight in Joe Stocko lines. And what J.J. McCarthy did in the Big Ten title game, ultimate Stocko. Ultimate Stocko. Bring more Stockos to Iowa football, please. That's all I ask. Because it means you're winning, and you're running the ball down someone's throat. What's not fun about that?
So I think last week I asked what was sort of the Iowa football doomsday scenario. And I even wrote a blog about it. And
oh, you did.
We're 1 week after now. 1 week after having that conversation. Does it seem like you are much more sunshine and butterflies than I was? Do you I think we should do this for each time we go on the pod now. Which scenario are we closer to, yours or mine now?
You know, we might be closer to yours in terms of losing dudes on defense.
And that's where I wanted to go with this.
I don't mean that. Yeah. And I don't mean that like, oh, Iowa can't replace him. Iowa will be able to replace Justin Jacobs and Terry Roberts in some form or fashion. But the net talent drain that's occurring on defense when you factor those two into Jack Campbell, Riley Moss, Kayvon Merriweather, Seth Benson, Noah Shannon maybe. But really, the guys in the back seven, I think, are probably more important. But still, losing seven contributors off of a defense, we trust in Phil Parker. The defense is still going to be good, but a top 25 defense alongside a bottom 10 offense is doomsday, because that would be going from a top 2 or 3 defense down 20 slots. And, you know, I mean, Michigan State, Penn State, like, those are games Iowa could lose.
I mean,
they have a better chance of winning them than Ohio State, Michigan, but.
So, like, my thing is, I'm even a little more optimistic than you in this way. Like, I can stomach, I mean, Keegan Johnson I had mentally prepared for in September. Arlen Bruce, little disappointing, not surprising. Alex Padilla, Petrus, I mean, kind of good riddance. Reggie Bracey, fine. Even Justin Jacobs, it's like, okay, you got hurt 2 years in a row, sorry. But Terry Roberts, who was poised to be CB1 on a team that has put out three All-American corners in the past 10 years, four if you count Riley Moss, six if you count second-team All-American honors, because Desmond King and Moss both got second-team once, right, in addition to first-team. Or am I misremembering?
Okay, so yeah, accolades, yeah. Yes.
All guys playing between Josh Jackson, King, Moss will be, all guys will be playing on Sundays. Geno Stone has been playing a lot. Imani Hooker's been playing a lot.
Dane Belton,
my God, how could I forget him? Why? Do you think Terry? Because in my brain, I'm thinking Cooper DeJean's moving back to cash. If Roberts stays, is Terry Roberts that scared of Jamari Harris, where he doesn't want to go and compete and win the job that he excelled? He was so good. this year. Like, that, I don't understand that at all.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think...
And, like, another thing, too, I want to say is, like, okay, maybe, you know, the counter would be like, all right, what if LSU is in his ear? What if Alabama is in his ear? What if Georgia is in his ear? It's like, that's not going to help his draft stock. Like, he would still be a first-day guy, right, if he shut things down at Iowa? Like, we're going to see Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State, right, probably go in the first round. Like, is he now thinking between, instead of pick number 25, it'll be pick 15? Like, I don't think he's thinking that, do you?
No, I think it's some combination of things. I think Thad was first on this in terms of, like, if you get, you can only stomach so many injuries and stomach going through the process of being injured at a place before you just want to get out of there. Like, I think in some ways there's a case for, like, the CJ Frederick kind of deal there. I think everything's been above board with Terry Roberts. So, like, I'm not going to – connecting those dots is unfair. But, like, I think that that's part of it is, hey, I've been in this room for the last 2 years. So, if memory serves, he was injured for much of last year too. So, I think that's part of it. I think the part of it is I don't see – DeJean necessarily going back to Cash. I think he's a cornerback. So it is him or Harris. And Harris was cornerback number two coming into the season. Probably would have been cornerback number two coming out.
No, Harris was number three.
I don't think.
It was Roberts was all.
No, he was.
Roberts was always two.
No, Harris got injured. And that's why Roberts started, as I recall.
I don't think that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
We can look this up, but I don't think that's right.
But I think some of it is not wanting to see someone you're with every day get injured, and that's the reason you play. Because maybe it would have shaken out that DeJean's back, and, you know, they shake it up, find the best five, put him in the spot six, sell the best at. But, I think that factors into it. Distance from home, probably some element. You know, if he can go back to Penn State, he probably would be, I don't know how high he would end up getting drafted at Iowa versus Penn State, but I do think there's probably a higher ceiling if there is, you know, legacy, stuff like that. I don't know. And sometimes kids just want to do something new. Like, I mean, I think one of my dad's friends, he put it in such a way, and I think you have this sentiment as well, is like the way Terry Roberts played was just so fun. And he was like not just like a cult hero in some respect, but everyone loved the way he played. And it sucks to lose a guy like that because you just wanted to remember him as a really good Hawkeye, and now he's going to go somewhere else and, you know, rewrite in some respect the legacy he had at Iowa. Am I misinterpreting what you're saying?
No, I guess this is maybe misuse a word for the second time in a podcast, hubris on my part, thinking I just can't wrap around my brain why somebody would want to leave a defensive back, a corner,
yeah,
want to leave Iowa to go. I mean, what, Kayvon Merriweather's about to go get drafted. Fucking what's this, Kerner of all guys is playing, you know,
yeah,
right now. Like, nothing against him, but like, I mean, would you have expected him? But then, you know, the counter to that is, you know who I watched a ton of, and maybe for better or for worse, you know who I watched a ton of on Saturday and couldn't believe it, completely forgot about him?
Who?
Julius Brents.
Oh, yeah.
Completely yeah. forgot about him. And like, kinda, I mean, he got picked on and he also made some good plays too. So is he an NFL player? I don't know. And that's funny because I watch a lot of Kansas State this year too, and I don't even remember Brents at all, but he just kept on getting picked on by Duggan, another Iowa guy, not an Iowa guy, but an Iowa guy, if you know what I mean, a guy from Iowa.
yeah.
I guess it just makes me sick. What, both of Roberts' tweets today were offer from you and I, like, fucking kill me. And then if I see him play for Penn State next year, I'm just going to be so beside myself.
I know. I was wondering, like, because it's in Happy Valley next year. I was wondering, like, what would it have been like if it were at Iowa? Like, you think people are?
Terry. I'd boo him. I'd boo the shit out of him. I would boo the mother ever loving fuck out of him because, and that's the thing. If we played for Minnesota, even maybe if we played for Wisconsin, I might be able to forgive it. But Penn State, like, you want to go and get shit on by Michigan and Ohio State and get beat up in the tunnel by Michigan State? Like, why do you want to go do – you want to go live in Happy Valley? I don't – ugh. I just hate
– He's from Erie, so
– I don't know enough about the state of Pennsylvania, but I don't like it. I don't like it. I guess – are there any, do you want to make any other bad predictions? Do you think we've seen all of the defections, all of the attrition we're going to see? Did we lose a Williams? Did we lose a Gavin Williams? Am I making that up?
Oh yeah, Gavin Williams.
But LaShawn stayed.
Lost him. Yeah, I mean, LaShawn still
as long as Caleb stays, honestly, I don't care what happens to the running back room. Truly.
Yeah, you need Caleb. I like LaShawn. Like, I think
I like LaShawn and I like Jazz, the true freshman.
Yeah. So, you know, I think they're in good shape there. I mean, wide receivers, like, as I've said
in
the
past,
like, if they lost Brecht, that would be damning, but, like, he should be a number one guy. I'm kind of fascinated by, or not a number one guy, but, you know, I mean, he's in the mix as far as, you know, being a football player, but they still probably need to recruit behind him because
they absolutely have to. They have to get
he's not long for this world.
Six receivers. They need to get six receivers in the portal.
Oh my god! Offensive line. I mean, I think if you start at Iowa, you should probably want to stay at Iowa. But
yeah, where if you start at Iowa this year, where do you think you're going to start next year? Truly.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Like, honestly, somebody, I don't know if it was on Twitter or in Slack, it's like, oh, people are saying Britt might leave. It's like, I know, I'm being crass, but like, who? Because I said this before, all five of the, for the wrong reasons, Iowa had five faceless, nameless offensive linemen this year because all five of them did the same fucking thing, which was very little.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, like, Matt posted the Terry Roberts practice film.
Another thing I want to talk about, but yeah, continue.
The Slack. Just playing the hits on that, like, just a horrible throw that Scary Terry picks off. Just a snap that goes awry. Just, like, a horrible telegraphed tunnel screen. Just everything bad that we saw on the football field, it was bad happening in practice. It's like, oh my god.
I've got a lot of questions. Do you think he was given permission to use that film where he
did? Yes.
Have we ever seen a player post practice film before? I don't think I've ever seen Iowa practice film before in my entire life.
The wide receiver Desmond Hudson, I think is his name, who went to UNI. I remember that very specifically because it did seem weird to be posting it on Twitter. It felt very weird. I'm surprised that isn't just something you're just not sending to
teams. And the last thing is Robert says 5 full games against Big Ten competition. One of those games was Ohio State, which he played in admirably, as well as he could have given what the offense was doing. And then there's at least between the last year and the year before another handful of moments where he could, with real broadcasting and real HD cameras and real anything. Like, why are you that's like me. That would be like me posting a weightlifting Instagram using a 35-pound bar. And not to say I'm like a weightlifter or anything, but I'm just like trying to think about
something
to do.
I mean, people do that, show progress, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just hilarious. Like I'm surprised he shared it on the interweb and not in, like a Dropbox or something, but maybe he thought Twitter was going away, but yeah,
Maybe.
I think they let them do that, but I am surprised to see it on internet. Because, like, discussion around, like, Reggie Bracey, where's that guy going to go? And he doesn't have any film, even though, like, I think he maybe played in a handful of snaps here and there, when Iowa had the rare blowout. But it's like, he'll have his practice film. He probably looks good in it. Like, I mean, that's the thing about these defensive backs. You look great going against an Iowa offense.
Yeah, most people do.
Was there any final thing that you wanted to touch on? I feel like it was such a flawless transition from the Barnes. Oh, the bowl game.
I was about to say, do we even want to talk about the bowl game?
I almost said. I have 2 questions about the bowl game. One, do you think we see Christopher? And 2, can you believe that the over-under for this here bowl game is below the Army-Navy game?
31.5? What is the Army-Navy game?
Yeah. 32.
Oh my god, fucking kill me. So is Deuce not number 2? He's their number 3?
I think I saw where he's like... Let me see.
While you're looking it up, and I think you did bring this up in Slack, so I'll steal your valor, is Iowa finds itself in the position that it hypothetically... Yeah. Iowa literally finds itself in the position this year that they hypothetically found themselves in last year, where Padilla and Petras were both hobbled, and somebody asked him about starting their third-string quarterback, who at the time was Christopher Deuce Hogan, and Kirk said they would have stayed at home. Now... Iowa has Padilla and Petras out with an arm injury, and has Petras declared for the portal too?
I think Kirk said something in his press conference to the effect that he does not expect Petras to pursue football outside of college football. Could be a practice squad guy.
They got teams in China. Padilla's transferring out, and so now we're left with what would have been Deuce Hogan's job last year. And Deuce Hogan last year was a clear number 3, whereas this year, I feel like it's less clear between Labus and May, right? I mean, it's probably Labus because he's got one more year in the program, but
yeah,
neither of them have played at all.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking about the Nebraska comments in this context. I think that the major difference, though, is, like, I think what happened last year was the ones and twos were able to go enough, and then they got sick on, like, Wednesday or Thursday. So, like, Hogan would have been put in their cold. This is different because they have 3-4 weeks to sort out who they want to be the sacrificial lamb. But it doesn't mean they can't figure out, 10 plays that the kid feels comfortable with. and then just try and run the ball into the ground, like I said before, punt it away, you know, win it 13-10, and hope. And really, what it's going to come down to is Kirk or Brian or whomever is going to be telling Iowa's quarterback, hey, the other guy is in the same position as you. Don't make a mistake. He will. And I don't know if that's going to have a Labus or May clam up, but that's going to be Iowa's mindset with this thing. Because, yeah, I'm looking, and I think Hogan got passed by a redshirt freshman and a freshman. So maybe Kirk's assessment of Christopher was correct.
Bummer. And did Levis, did he declare for the draft or the portal? Sorry, did you say?
No, draft. Okay. Draft.
I watched not a ton of Kentucky football this year, but I think he's projected to be one of the first three QBs taken. I don't see that. I don't understand that at all. I just don't.
If I understood it, I
don't. Okay.
I think it's just... big guy, big arm.
So does Petras.
Interesting enough outside the pocket.
Okay.
Like,
Petras is not interesting anywhere. So,
like, I do think the comp is probably something like a poor man's Josh Allen. That would be kind of
okay
if I'm but I mean, that's who these guys are trying to find.
Iowa tore Josh Allen right, to shreds. People forget that. So
they did. They did indeed. Yeah, I mean, his stats are really just like. Okay, all right. I've got something, Ben.
What?
I think I have a. Who was it? We'll see. This would be a good thing to close on. All right. Yards, 7.4 yards per attempt, or 2,800 yards. 8 yards per attempt. Who was who? Will Levis, Nate Stanley.
It was Nate Stanley.
Which one was Nate Stanley?
The second guy you said, the last guy.
That was Levis.
Fuck me.
Like, the stats this guy put up are just not that compelling.
No, which is why I thought it was Nate Stanley.
376 rushing yards last year. That's a number. Yeah. That's a number. And that, but the passing, maybe there's a reason I was recruiting him.
Honestly, yeah.
Way back in the day.
I guess I do want to leave you with one question.
Yeah.
Who is your dream replacement hire at Purdue?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think it would be Mike Leach if it's like the dream.
I mean, one, why? Two.
Realistically, they're going to get the Western Kentucky guy again.
Again.
Yeah. Oh, worked last time.
What's his name?
I don't know. Will Travers?
Oh, my God.
No. Let's see.
Can we interest you in a slightly...
You were asking...
Slightly use Brian Ferentz.
Tyson Helton. No, it's too...
That guy related to Clay Helton?
Enough job. Oh, no. Is he?
Oh. The nepotism in this sport is truly, like, I don't know. I'm sure it's like all other industries, but holy hell. Like I saw.
Yep. Yep. It is.
I saw Nebraska retweet. It's like, welcome Coach Satterfield to the Nebraska staff. I was like, Scott Satterfield is leaving his job to go be the OC at Nebraska. And then I saw, no, he's just got a fail son who's an offensive coordinator at one directional Florida school. It's like, holy hell, what is going on?
Incredible. Well, I mean, it's good work if we can get it to be a fired college football.
I'm just jaded because my dad wouldn't hire me and won't hire me to work for him. But it's neither here nor there.
No, it's 100% going to be this Western Kentucky guy.
God.
Incredible. Do you have a dream hire, or were you just asking
for Purdue? I mean, I don't. Dream hire would be somebody shitty because fuck Purdue. But
yeah, Jim Leonard, hire him. Yes,
honestly, no.
Iowa can defend against those.
I wouldn't want Jim Leonard because in 3 years those chickens would come home to roost. I think it'd be 2 years of growing pains and year three. I mean, kind of like Mike Leach, I guess. But gun to my head, like, I don't know enough about Purdue. Honestly, I was thinking guys who already got jobs, Purdue is a better job. Kevin Wilson went to someplace and Tom Herman went to, was it USF? I don't know. Those would have been two guys. I think Tom Herman would have been fucking a bonkers great hire for Purdue if they got ahead of it.
Maybe the most inspired one that they could do would be if they were able to get the Ohio State wide receiver coach.
Who's that?
Brian Hartline.
Oh, that's a good one, but he's an OSU guy. I think he's staying there. He might take the offensive coordinator job now that Kevin Wilson's gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. That would make too much sense. But that would be like if they're going to try and find like a not a diamond in the rough, because obviously like it's Ohio State, like a diamond in the diamonds, like the recruiting that guy has. But it's also how much easier it is to recruit to Ohio State than it is to Purdue.
I'm well aware. This has already been an hour, but I was going to be like, I wanted to say, like, wouldn't you rather be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State than the head coach at Purdue?
That's a good question. Probably,
and especially if you went to Ohio State too, like, it's a no brainer.
Because if you do really well there, where did Wilson go? But I mean, he's
Kevin Wilson, defense, it's so not really Tulane, but a school like that.
Oh, Tulsa.
Oh, TU. I had it. I was right. Oh my God, Tulsa sucks. Hmm. Ugh. You would much rather be Purdue than Tulsa.
Tulsa is fine. Tulsa's a big city.
I've been hearing
relative to where I'm at. How warped is my perspective?
Have you been to Tulsa?
Yeah, it's totally fine. I have. It's just like a big suburb.
Two things about Tulsa. One, I've got a second cousin who lives there, and every time I see him, he says it's the next Austin, which, cool. And two, did you know more ballerinas come out of Tulsa than any other city in the United States?
What a fact. Yep. We're ending there. I did not know that. So, good for Tulsa. Incredible. Alrighty, Ben. Any final thoughts other than that fact about Tulsa?
Score prediction for Iowa State tomorrow?
Oh, boy. Probably like 74-68 Iowa State.
Is this a good Iowa State team?
I just don't know about Chris. I don't know if I was going to be question. Ready. And they're the exact same as last year.
Okay.
Iowa State fans will chafe at that, but like.
Okay. So it's good, not great.
So. Yeah.
So are they over? Are they overranked? What are they? 14, 13, 18?
No, I think they're 20. They're properly ranked for the resume of the wins that they had when they won. Like, they beat UNC, but that UNC team is shaky, and they beat Villanova, and that Villanova team's shakier. And who else did they beat? They beat St. John's, fine. Iowa beat Seton Hall, cool stuff. Yeah, I mean, those are the two wins that they had. Lost to Connecticut by 18 points.
Really?
So, yeah.
Bummer.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Ben, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been fun real.
I think so.
Talk to you later.
Doodles, fuck state.